This work is motivated by some general questions about mixed states, many-body mixed states. And these are my wonderful collaborators. Some of the recent stuff which I will focus on is my graduate students, Yushue and Simon. When I first started thinking about these questions, in fact, the first person I interacted with was Tim at KITP when we were both postdocs, questions about mixed states. And then I worked a fair bit on these questions with Peter Liu, who is a postdoc here now. And he was a grad student at UCSD. And along the way, we also collaborated with Yingzher, Kaixin, and Jiaming. So the, right. So let's get started. So maybe the broadest question I want to pose is whether quantum mechanics matter in an open quantum system. There's this general kind of intuition that when you have an open quantum system, it decoheres the system of interest. And I mean, some baths is interacting with your system, decoheres it, quantum mechanics matter somehow less in some sense. So let's see one. So okay, this is not a rhetorical question. I mean, it sounds rhetorical, but there's some kind of a sense quantum mechanics matters less in many cases when you have open quantum system. So take this example for just one of the simplest example of a condensed matter system, just Ising model on a square lattice. So if you have a system at finite temperature, you can think of it as being obtained by coupling it to some thermal bath, and then you have some finite temperature Gibbs state. And if there was no thermal bath, you're in the ground state, and then you have a quantum phase transition, which is in the 3D Ising universality. On the other hand, if there's no quantum mechanics at all, and you just have a temperature axis, this point is just a classical 2D Ising model, everything we know about it. So then this whole line is also in the same universality as the phase transition is concerned as this classical point. So in this sense, despite this being a quantum Hamiltonian, quantum mechanics doesn't matter for the universal description of this phase transition. So this is in some sense saying that quantum mechanics does not matter at non-zero temperature. By matter, I mean for universal properties in this case. Okay, but then one can ask the question, can there be quantum phase transitions at a non-zero temperature? And we will encounter such things. So another motivation comes from quantum computing. You can have error-correcting codes, which have some threshold for beyond. If you have too much errors in the system, then your quantum code does not work. And errors are induced by some external perturbation, for example, cosmic rays shining on your quantum device. This is my cartoon imagination of how a quantum hard drive looks like. So what is the nature of this transition between a quantum coherent and quantum incoherent regime in a quantum computer? Maybe the broadest motivation, and perhaps to me the most kind of the major, the main reason I'm interested in this field is how to think about quantum phases of matter beyond pure states. And I would say some of the most interesting work in this topic right now is being done at Parameter by several of your faculty, including Tim and Chong. I just copy pasted from my lecture one of condensed matter physics at UCSD. I didn't make really any change. This is how I start the first lecture. You want to motivate the whole course, so you'd start discussing like the global structure of phases of matter. So the top level hierarchy, at least this is maybe old fashioned view. Maybe this is okay now. Everyone wants to think in terms of non-invertible symmetries and so on. That's a different perspective, or in terms of higher form symmetries and so on. But this is like maybe 20th century physics, if you like, viewpoint. The top level hierarchy is short-range entangled and long-range entangled. So the short-range entangled phases, which can be obtained from some product state by some short depth unitary. And then you have long-range entangled systems where you can have spontaneous symmetry breaking. Then you get GHZ-like states. Then you have SCAT-like states. And more interestingly, you can have systems where long-range entanglement exists because of topological order, such as fraction quantum Hall effect, Torrey code, and so on. Then you have things which are less understood, even less understood, are gapless systems where long-range entanglement exist. Right? So there's this, okay, this is, although we don't understand even, for example, this part really well, and some of the experts in the audience know much more about it. For example, Dominic has been thinking about these kind of questions. But when it comes to mixed states, we understand really, really, I mean, much, much less. I already mentioned this, short-range entangled it, when you can obtain some state by a unitary circuit, which is whose depth does not depend on the system size. So this is what I mean by short-range entangled pure state. You start from some initial state, you apply some unitary circuit, and the depth is this amount of, if you like, time evolution, is essentially independent of L. In long-range entangled systems, the typical long-range entangled systems, for example, Torrey code, you have to apply a circuit which is order L depth. So this is the usual distinction. But when it comes to mixed states, we don't even have such clear, and even a starting point, how to think about it. There's no Hamiltonian most of the time, unless you're working with a Gibbs state. But generally, there's just much less is known. So the one kind of important thing to do is to just find more examples of interesting mixed states. I think examples are sort of, that's how we do physics. We look around, do a lot of experiments, either on pen and paper or actual experiments, and try to look at a lot of things and try to find some general scheme to understand some broad structure. So here, one kind of major task is to find more and more examples and try to see what are the possibilities and how to classify these different things, or what is the general structure. So there are different things people have been trying. So I won't go into, I won't like enumerate everything. You will see some of the examples. But more ideas are needed. It's just the kind of, I would say, early days in some sense of thinking about this. Since we are interested in quantum aspects of mixed states, and thinking in terms of entanglement has been extremely useful for pure states, it's a natural question to ask how to think about entanglement of mixed states. Then the first question one would want to know is, when is a mixed state should be considered entangled to begin with, right? That's like, even that is a non-trivial question. Here's one way to kind of think about entanglement of mixed states. So what is a mixed state? Mixed state is just a collection of pure states prepared with some probability distribution function. Every mixed state can be taught in that way. If each ensemble of this, if each element of this ensemble, each of these pure states, is a product state between two parties. So here I'm asking about bipartite entanglement of mixed states. Then this mixed state should be considered unentangled, because I can prepare this mixed state by no quantum work. All the actual work in preparing this is classical, just this probabilities. You don't require any quantum communication between parties A and B to prepare this, because each element of this ensemble is a product state. So you can prepare phi IA by doing all kind of quantum operation in Hilbert space A. You can prepare phi IB by doing all kind of operation in Hilbert space B. And then you just prepare each of these separately with some probabilities. Let's say you wake up in the morning, you prepare a Torrey code, in the afternoon you prepare a GHG state, and at night you prepare Wörner state or something, and then you went to bed that day, that whole day you prepared some mixed state, right? That's when we think about it. So mixed state is just a collection of pure states in that sense. That's the point of view I'm taking. So here's one interesting example of a interesting kind of a behavior. So you have this mixed state with probability P. You prepare a Bell state, one of the Bell states, with probability 1 minus p, you prepare just the identity, which is clearly not entangled. So when p is 0,
that's correct.
So that when p is 0, you are just here, identity. So it is clearly an entangled. When p is 1, it's just a Bell state. It is entangled. So you can ask, in between this p equal to 0 and p equal to 1, does such a decomposition exist everywhere or nowhere? It's not fully obvious. You would think there should be some stability of Bell pair in terms of, I mean, there should be open set around p equal to 1, which is entangled, because Bell state violates some kind of a Bell inequality. So by some order 1 amount, deforming it a little bit should not change Bell inequalities. I mean, should not change the fact that Bell inequalities are violated. So there should be some open set here. But interestingly, there is only a regime in which you have any Bell-like inequalities violated. And it's not obvious, I mean, how would you, okay. I mean, this problem is exactly solvable, so we know everything about it. But it's an interesting result, even in a two-qubit system. So this shows you how mixed states are much more non-trivial compared to pure states. Because, how would you know such a decomposition exists? It just requires looking at infinitely possible things. So the one question we will ask is, what is the many-body analogs of such transitions? If I may call such a thing a transition. So it's a two-qubit system, so maybe you don't want to think of this as a transition, but it's a transition in the complexity. In this regime, you cannot prepare this state by unit trees which are single qubit. Such a preparation does not exist. In this regime, such a preparation exists. You can apply just single qubit gates, which do not entangle the two qubits, to prepare this state in this region. Although it's not obvious from this expression, but there exists some other decomposition to prepare it. So now to think about many-body entanglement of mixed states, one important thing to realize, even from pure states, is that there always exists some short-distance entanglement, even in a system which we nominally consider short-range entangled pure state. So if you start from a product state, apply a short-depth unit tree, it will generate some short-distance area law entanglement, which will depend on your UV cutoff in a quantum field theory, for example. So we want to not worry about those short-distance effects, right? So then we will define a short-range entangled mixed state as one where each element, if rho can be written in this form, where each of these pure states can be prepared by a constant depth circuit. So that's one way to think about a short-range entangled mixed state, if I can find such a decomposition. So any questions here? Because this is a important definition, so feel free to, yes, please.
If you have quantum noise, can you consider that to be a situation where you have mixed states coming in, and would that be a short-range type of thing?
Right, so that's a great question. So suppose you have a system which is open quantum system, has some decoherence. So the statement is, you can always describe that mixed state as a collection of pure states. You can always do that. Yes. So the answer is yes. You can always reformulate your problem in terms of this. And we will see examples of that very soon. Yeah. Because it is not obvious from this how does decoherence enter. But the statement is, when you take a pure state subjected to decoherence, it becomes a mixed state. And then you start looking at such decompositions.
Yes.
And also, we want to also think about the role of symmetries. Symmetries play an important role when we think about pure states as well as Gibbs states, right? For example, we describe phase transition in a Gibbs state, spontaneous symmetry breaking, and so on. So symmetries are important. So let me define a symmetric version of a short-range entangled mixed state, which is if rho can be written as an ensemble of pure states, where each element of this ensemble can be prepared by a finite depth local unitary circuit, which is made of symmetric gates. So each of these gates commute with the symmetry of interest. So I'm assuming some zero-form symmetry, which is But you can generalize to higher form symmetries also, as we will do later. In this example, just think about zero form symmetry. So then, so each element commutes with some generator of the symmetry. So that's my definition of a symmetric short range entangled mixed state. So far, I've only done definitions. But then the question is, how do you go about finding such decompositions in general, right? So because a density matrix has infinitely many decompositions, and the statement we are making is, we defined the short-range entangle if there exists one such decomposition of the kind I earlier mentioned. How do you know you can find it, right? That requires, although the definition is very, very sharp, but knowing the answer, yes or no answer, whether such a decomposition exists or not, is a really hard question. So beyond 2 or 3 qubits, people haven't found any general way to do that. So there's no general algorithm. So suddenly, for many body systems, I think it's going to be really challenging to find like a deterministic algorithm to know whether something is short-range entangled or long-range entangled. So just out of curiosity, I entered these words, all possible decompositions in some AI R generator, and this is what it comes out. Okay, just for fun, because this phrase is interesting, all possible decompositions. So let me try. I was imagining something morbid will come out, like a graveyard of all possible species or something, but that didn't happen. That's good, but. So some useful tools to make progress on this seemingly very hard question. Sometimes you can find an explicit demonstration of short-range entangled decomposition of a mixed state. Sometimes you just get lucky. Maybe you're working with problems which are simple enough. You can explicitly show such a decomposition exists. Sometimes you can use symmetry arguments. Sometimes you can use Lie-Robinson bounds, some locality arguments. So let's start from one example. So to keep track of time, So actually, did we start on 2:00? When did we start? We started at time, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry too much.
Okay. So this is. Let's start from something which we have at least seen before, a Gibbs state, and let's start from the model which we have seen before, Ising model. So nothing can be simpler, right? Just Gibbs state of Ising model. Let's try to understand this first. If we don't understand this, okay, then there's no hope of making progress, in my opinion. Okay. So then. So here's a phase diagram again of the Ising model. It's a ordered paramagnet phase. Let's try to understand this in terms of what I call this separability criteria, whether it's a short-range entangled or not. So now we want to put some symmetry constraints on our gauge because there's some symmetry here, and all of these transitions have something to do with symmetry, like symmetry is spontaneously broken. So the claim is that this Gibbs state is SIM LRE. LRE stands for long range entangled. So the SIM LRE means not SIM SRE. That is, there exists no decomposition of the Gibbs state in terms of as a convex sum of pure states, where each pure state can be prepared by a short depth circuit, which is made of symmetric local gates. So I want to claim that this state is not SIM SRE. So that's, and the proof is, it may look technical, but it is not actually. I mean, if you go through it, it's just couple words, and it's actually inspired directly from this very nice work by people from PI and Santa Barbara. Even if you don't understand the rough idea, just in words, is that first you decompose your density matrix into symmetry sectors, which are odd or even under the symmetry. You can always do that. Then, because you have done that decomposition of the density matrix, then these rho plus minus are eigen vectors of this symmetry generator U. So with plus minus sign, that's the meaning of it being symmetry. That's the meaning of this decomposition into symmetry sectors. Okay, that's good. Because these rho plus minor are eigen values of U, when you expand rho plus minus in any pure states, any kind of decomposition, this psi plus minus will be also have some symmetry constraint, like they will be either symmetric or anti-symmetric under U by definition. Now, if you assume that the state rho is sim SRE, so I'm trying to do a proof by contradiction. So let's assume it is short-range entangled. Then each element have to be short-range entangled by definition because of this decomposition and because of the exact symmetry here. If it is short-range entangled, then the mutual information has to decay exponentially. So that means all correlation, all connected correlation functions have to decay exponentially. But because of the symmetry constraint, expectation value of the Z operator, because Z is odd under symmetry, has to vanish. So this part goes away. So that means two-point correlation functions, not a connected, but just usable, just two-point correlation functions, have to decay exponentially. But that's a contradiction with the fact that symmetry is spontaneously broken in low energy at low temperature, at T less than TC. So then you reach a contradiction. So it's a way to obtain contradiction between the fact that the system has a ferromagnetic order and the state is SIM-SRE. And you can ask, can you find a decomposition up for T bigger than TC, which is SIM-SRE? Because the argument I gave forbids such a decomposition for T less than TC. What about T bigger than TC? Can you find such a decomposition? And the claim is yes. So if you insert just identity, so first write down rho as product of square root of rho times square root of rho, and insert identity in the symmetric basis. X basis, so these X's are eigenstates of this poly X. So they are either symmetric or, I mean, they carry exact symmetry charge. So all of these states, square root of rho XV, are carry the symmetry charge, like a definite symmetry charge of your symmetry. And you can argue using kind of a somewhat, I would say, hand-wavy field theory arguments that these square root of rho XV states are shorter entangled for T bigger than TC. So I think more work probably is needed to make it rigorous, but at least there's a suggestive argument that this is possible. But this idea of writing rho as square root of rho, and inserting something in between turns out to be an extremely useful tool to argue something is shorter entangled or not. So in general, if you can take a square root of a density matrix, especially in some decohort state, you should always take it, even if you don't know why you're taking it. That's like a general message we have learned. Taking square roots is helpful of a density matrix. So to show another example, when this taking square root was very helpful, this is some older work with Peter and Tim. So if we ask, if I give you toric code in various dimensions, whether a Gibbs state of toric code is SRE or not in the definition we discussed. So the phase diagram of toric code in various dimensions looks like this. In 1D, there is no finite temperature. Anything, there's no phase transition in 3D, there is a phase transition because it's an Ising gauge theory. Ising gauge theory has a deconfined phase at non-zero temperature. So there is some deconfined anions at finite temperature. But in 4D toric code, there are actually two different transitions. And it has already been argued from past works that this low temperature phase has quantum memory, that you can do quantum computing in this low temperature phase. So at least it's suggestive that this low temperature phase here is LRE, that is long range entangled in the mixed state sense, this Gibbs state here. So we're interested in the Gibbs state of this because we're talking about temperature axis as one of the axes. So we're interested in non-zero temperature behavior of toric codes. So there's an interesting 4D toric code where the wave function, where the eigenstates are superposition of membranes, and the open membranes are like your anions, and they have non-trivial anion statistics, these loops, and that's this interesting phase. But the interesting question is, both 3D and 4D have a finite temperature transition, and since something 3D is more interesting, because despite the presence of a non-trivial phase at finite temperature, it's not obvious whether this phase is SRE or LRE in the way we defined. So one can show this work that if you write down toric code as a sum of two terms, as usual, right? There's a star term and a Plaquette term, or is generalization in various dimensions. So these are just classical Hamiltonians by themselves, separately. If I don't sum them up, this is a classical Hamiltonian. This is like a classical Hamiltonian. Find a TC for these classical. TC meaning some finite temperature transition temperature for these two Hamiltonians. Let me call them TA and TB. TA for this, TAB for, as long as temperature is bigger than minimum of TA, TB, you can find SRE decomposition of the mixed state. So that's a statement. At temperature bigger than minimum TA, TB, where TA, TB are the critical temperature for these two classical Hamiltonians, there exists a decomposition. And the idea is similar again. You write on rho as square root of rho, insert some complete set of states, and that helps arguing this. So I won't go into the detail, just given it's a colloquium and we have several things to discuss. But if you apply this argument now to various dimensions and take L, L is a system size, take L to infinity. So minimum of 0 and 0 is 0. 3D, in 3D Tori code, minimum of 0 and some order 1 number is again 0. In 4D, minimum of order 1 and order 1 is some order 1 number. So at least in 2D and 3D, you can argue that the Gibbs state of a Tori code has a decomposition in terms of short-range entangled pure states. And again, taking square root was helpful to do this. So in this sense, so this transition here in the 3D Tori code is really like a classical transition, which is what I guess people anyway expect that based on previous works of quantum memory and so on. But in this, for the same reason, this finite temperature transition in the 4D Tori code, so the lower one, which corresponds to minimum TA TB, should be thought of as a quantum phase transition at a non-zero temperature. Because below that temperature, the Gibbs state is not short-range entangled. All right. So any questions here? Yes.
So we have proved that above the temperature it is separable, but below the temperature
that
it's...
Right. So I did not mention that. Yeah. So this only shows you this decomposition does not help in 4D. It only shows you that maybe you just failed to find such a decomposition. So I would say I don't know the rigorous proof, what we did as a positive evidence for arguing such a decomposition does not exist is just it's more like a heuristic, is to calculate what is called topological entanglement negativity. So it's a measure of mixed state entanglement. It's like asking, if I have a pure state, how do we go about it, right? In pure state, we have some entanglement measure. We calculate it to argue something is long-range entangled. So we do something similar here. And topological negativity vanishes in 2D and 3D at any non-zero temperature. And one can argue that in 4D, it does not vanish below this lower temperature. Yes.
Would it be possible to consider a fractional dimension between 2D and 3D, where you could have a quantum phase transition?
You probably mean 3D and you mean 3D and 4D. Yeah.
I don't have anything in between.
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, I think my understanding is that the current I would say the current the models people have attempted to write down finite temperature quantum memory, they do involve fractals. So fractals are very helpful in thinking about quantum memory as far as we can tell. So probably yes, something that will be interesting. So some of the models which have been written down for these finite temperature quantum memory, if one look at their separability or their topological negativity, it will be very helpful. But I don't think it has been done. Yeah.
Anions then be able to escape because they're considered generally in two dimensions, but would they then be able to find
themselves? Depending on the dimension you are in, anions have to be defined appropriately, right? And like, for example, for the 4D Tori code, anions were already like line-like objects. So I don't know how to think about anions in fractal dimensions. I haven't thought about it. But I would imagine if there is some finite temperature quantum memory in some system where they are fractal-like logical operators, then most likely you have to think about some kind of intersection of those logical things to define anion statistics. But I haven't done such a thing. Right. So let's come to the next example. So just to summarize so far, first we discussed Gibbs state of the Ising model, and we argued it's SIM-LRE, that is symmetric long-range entangled for T less than TC. Now we discussed Tori code in very definition. Now there is no question of symmetry here, not imposing any symmetries. Then we argued for 2D and 3D, it is SRE at any non-zero temperature, the Gibbs state. And in 4D, there's evidence that it's not for below this TC. So these were both examples of Gibbs states. So now let's consider things which are not in thermal equilibrium. So one of the nicest examples of such comes from, again, thinking of toric code and subjecting it to decoherence, the question you earlier asked. So the idea is that you have toric code. From time to time, perhaps some external perturbation happens. Could be cosmic rays, could be experimentalists sneezing, I don't know, could be many things. But that generates some anions in the system because you're no longer in the ground state, you've done some perturbation. So the information in the toric code is encoded in some logical string, which wraps around your some non-contractible cycle. And so generating a little bit of anions is not doing much damage because the string is still not kind of, you have not destroyed that string. But if a anion anti-anion pair is created and it goes around the system, I mean, and wraps around undetected by you, if you're not able to detect that process, then you will change the logical subspace. And that will be a error you don't want. So if there is an order one probability of that happening, that leads to this run. If there's a non-zero probability of such undetected processes where anion wraps around, anion anti-anion pair generates and wrap around the system and change the logical state, then that's a bad thing, and then you end up in a different phase of matter. This is non-correctable phase. So the correctable phase is where you can detect these anions easily, where they are generated, and then correct them by applying some unit trees or just keeping track of where they are. You don't even have to apply those unit trees. As long as you know what happened, you know what your logical state is. But at some point, you fail to detect things, and that's where this transition occurs. So this is the famous quantum error correction threshold, which everyone is kind of working hard to be below. This P less than PC, right? That's the whole kind of hope of quantum computing, that we will be someday here with very large computers and so on. Another bit of thing about that is that if you think of that process as some short depth unit tree acting on your system and some environmental degrees of freedom, in your correctable phase, the logical string essentially lives in the system, does not leak out. But in the non-correctable phase, because you're only doing short depth evolution, the logical string has left the system. So the topological error cannot be destroyed by short time evolution or short depth circuit, but it can escape in some environmental degrees of freedom. So in this non-correctable phase, the topological order still exists if you think of that is being obtained by starting from toric code and entangling it with some environmental degree of freedom by some short depth unit tree. Then this whole system is still topologically ordered, but the subsystem is, the system of interest is not. So in this sense, if you think of in a very kind of a, if you like, maybe almost like a joke way, but it just, that experimentalists is like environmental degree of freedom, that system plus experimentalists have become topologically ordered in this phase. So that's one way to think about that. So recently people have started thinking about this transition in a much more, I would say, deep way in terms of mixed states directly, right? Not just about ability to correct errors or not, but also what are the intrinsic property of that mixed state that is being generated. So it was initiated by these interesting works. What was shown was that there's some measure of how much logical information is encoded in the system. It's called coherent information. So I won't get into what it means. This is not relevant for what I want to discuss, but there's evidence provided in these papers that there exists some intrinsic mixed state property which captures whether the logical information is still there or not, which jumps across this transition. So that's called coherent information. And there's also evidence that the Rényi negativity also shows a phase transition from log 2 to 0. So this Rényi negativity is some measure of mixed state entanglement, that also seems to show a transition as you change p. So our goal will be much more modest. We will just ask, can we show that in this non-correctable phase that the mixed state is short-range entangled? So that's what we, at least our intuition was that when we first thinking about this. But doing so actually leads to some interesting insights. So the idea was, again, in this work with Yu Shui, was to write down density matrix as square root of rho, insert some complete set of states. And we find that these states psi m are short-range entangled precisely for p bigger than pc. So that requires some work. I can't go into details. But when you start doing that calculation and ask what is the universality for that transition from these states becoming long-range to short-range entangled, that precisely matches with the same statistical mechanics model, which was originally argued in this 2001 paper by Landahl and collaborators to correspond to this error correction transition. So that statistical mechanics model is something to do with random bondizing model on a square lattice. And there's something called a Nishimori line, because just the way this calculation works and some of these other calculations also work from in the context of the statistical mechanics of error correction, you are always forced to lie along this line in this temperature and some randomness in random bondizing model plane. We can go into details of this, but there is some Ising model which has some randomness, and it's at a non-zero temperature, and you always lie along this line when you look at these states psi m. You don't have two independent, because in your experiment, you only have one tuning parameter, which is decoherence. And somehow, just the way this physics works, you're always along this line. So the critical point lies here. So an interesting thing I want to emphasize, even if you don't know all the details, is that this critical point has two relevant directions from RG sense, but your actual transition has only one relevant direction. So that's a surprise. You're accessing a critical point which has two relevant directions by tuning only one parameter. So that's like a violation of naturalness, but that happens in these error correcting codes. And it's related to bond probabilities. That a bond probabilities forces you, that bond rule forces you to lie along some line. So that's an interesting conceptual point, which I think needs to be explored more. But the upshot of this part is that if you try to write down your decoherent density matrix as a convex sum of short-range entangled states, you can do it precisely above p bigger than pc. And you recover the statistical mechanics model, which has previously been argued to correspond to error correction threshold. So somehow it just naturally comes out. And in fact, this way of thinking actually helps you derive the statistical mechanics model in a very efficient way for even other examples. For example, we looked at fracton models in three dimensions. And again, the statistical mechanics model is OK, a bit more complex. But if you start playing with the square root of rho and so on, it just comes out in just three sentences. So there's some way to kind of derive the statistical mechanics models also using this separability perspective. How much time we have? 41. Okay, so I will maybe go a little bit faster on this part. This is about so far we have discussed topological states. Maybe I should take a question here. I think I've said many things so far. So any questions? Yes.
Point of inflection, the curve you have there at that point?
Yeah, this point is like a critical point, really. It's not a point of inflection. I'm drawing a RG flow, essentially. So yeah, I wouldn't call it maybe it's some kind of inflection point also. But the main point is that it's a RG fixed point in this two-dimensional plane with two relevant directions. So yes, please.
So in the end, what was shown? So psi m is short-range entangled beyond the transition point?
Yes. And long-range entangled below the transition point.
What kind of property do you use to show that?
Right. So we looked at a two-fifth operator. So OK, we looked at two different quantities. So this psi m, first of all, has a very interesting form. So the psi m can be written in, I think there were shocks. OK, yeah. So psi m actually looks very fun. So the uh, So first of all, one point is that all of these psi m's are related to each other by order one depth unit tree. So you have to study just one of them. So let's study which is square root of rho acting on z equal to 1. By z equal to mean z is equal to 1 everywhere on all links. This state becomes square root of z of the Ising model with bonds. So the Ising model I'm writing as x edge si sj. So the x on the edge ij si sj. These are plus minus 1. So these are your random variables. So first, look at the partition function of the Ising model with couplings xe. And consider this state. So xe is a product state for the, this lives in the Hilbert space of the Tory code, this state. So take a product state for Tory code, xe, and then superpose it with weights given by square root of z of an Ising model. So that's the, so this is your psi, one of the psi's here. So for this is a very simple looking state. So you can study it in various ways. So the two things we studied were Toof operator, which captures whether the logical operator still exists. And the second thing we looked about was a Rényi topological entropy, just the Kitaev-Preskill kind of object. And both of them show a transition exactly at this Nishimori point. So the advantage of this, in some sense, is that you never have to use any replica trick. You directly have a decomposition of pure states, and each of these pure states you can directly study because they are simple enough. So in short, Toofed operator, Toofed line operator, and topological entropy. Right. Any other questions? Okay, so in this next part, so far we discussed, okay, first we started with Gibbs state, then we discussed a non-Gibbs state, which has intrinsic topological order. So we also thought, let's also study states which are symmetry-protected topological phases. So where there's some symmetry which makes it topological, SPT phases, in the presence of decoherence. So this is one of the simplest example. It's called cluster state in 1D. So it has interaction like, so don't again, it's just the think about in just broad terms, don't worry about all the details, but the rough structure is there's some Z2 times Z2 symmetry in the system which protects this phase. If you don't have the Z2 times Z2 symmetry, this topological phase does not exist. And there's interaction look like ZXZ, and there are two sublattices. These are the general thing. There are two sublattices A and B. There are two kind of terms, ZXZ kind of terms, and it's a stabilizer system, so ground state is simple to write down. And we subject this ground state to some decoherence. Decoherence takes a state rho on to some another state, some rho prime, which looks like this. So these z are called cross operators. This is a way to represent a decoherence in any system. So we take our cross operators to be capital Z. And the question we ask is the resulting state sim SRE? Now, symmetries are important, right? We are talking about SPT systems. Is this state sim SRE at any non-zero PA and or PB? That's the question we ask. Can it be expanded in terms of convex sum of pure states, where each pure state can be prepared by a constant depth circuit made of symmetric circuits, symmetric local gates? And the result we find is that only when PA is only when one of them is zero, let's say either PA zero, PB is zero, either one of them is zero, like along the x-axis or y-axis, then it turns out this state is sim LRE. Otherwise, it is sim SRE. So in region 4, it is short-range entangled from after imposing symmetries, and in region along these lines, it is sim LRE. And if you don't impose symmetries, it's always short-range entangled, like any SPT state is. SPT states are always short-range entangled if you don't impose symmetries. But this state remains long-range entangled even when you have decoherence if you're along this line or this line. And the way we prove this, we use Lieb-Robinson bounds. So the just very general structure is that if you assume it is sim SRE, you will find some violation of Lieb-Robinson bounds. That some assume locality implies things decay exponentially of some kind of correlation function, and if we're sim SRE, then it won't do that. So there'll be some violation of some general bound related to space-time locality. So again, I can't get into detail, but that's a result. But there's much more a general thing to say here that there are two steps in this calculation. First, you can ask when it cannot be sim SRE because of some Lieb-Robinson bound. So that tells you regions where it must be long-range entangled, like these lines. And then we ask, okay, that only shows some conflict with some general bound, Lieb-Robinson bound, or something like that. And okay, you have shown it must be long-range entangled in that regime. How do you know at other places there were also some other bound which you did not know? So then we can find explicit decomposition in region 4 in terms of sim SRE states. So there's no gap left between where we can exactly know, where we know it is long-range entangled and where we know it is short-range entangled. So in this sense, the decomposition region 4, which again relies on taking square root of rho and inserting some complete set of states and so on, is in some sense optimal in that sense. And there's a related work by people at Parameter, by Roshan and Chong and collaborators in these two works, where they show that the density matrix cannot be purified to SRE pure state using a symmetric finite channel in exactly in those regimes. But it's not exactly equivalent because purification and separability are two different things. In fact, entanglement of purification is not a measure of entanglement in general, but in this case, they do match exactly. These.
What's the difference between these two scenarios,
Jerry? Between this and this?
Yeah.
Right. So the the simplest possible example that you know of is consider this state. So this state cannot be purified to a short-range entangled state because of classical correlations, but it is separable. So that's why separability and purification are two different notions. Right. So then we generalize to higher dimension, including higher form SPTs. So then we find, wherever it is dark region, like shaded region, like any color, blue, red, green, anything, then it is sim LRE, that it is long-range entangled after imposing symmetries, and where white is sim SRE. So this is high dimensional cluster state. So I'm not giving you expression, but the Hamiltonian involves some product of terms, like analog of this in higher dimensions. So these higher dimensional examples have higher form symmetries. Okay, this one has zero form and one form symmetry. It has this three dimension has 2 1 form symmetries. So Benny's actually expert in these in this cluster of states. He has written many some of the most important works in this. So that's the result. So take cluster states, subject it to just a broad measure to take some of these SPTs, subject it to local decoherence, and ask whether it can be expanded into the symmetric short-range entangled states. And sometimes you fail, sometimes you succeed. But again, the boundaries are really optimal in the sense that in region 4, we can find explicit decomposition in terms of short-range entangled states. And in shaded regions, we can show it, you should not be able to find it because of Lieb-Robinson bound. So there's nothing, there's no gap in between. Right. And there's this older work by Benny and collaborators where they looked at 3D cluster state and imposed one form symmetry explicitly, right? That's the symmetry of the system. Then it also has a finite temperature transition in the Gibbs state. And this one is slightly different because here you're doing decoherence, so the universality is different of this separability transition. It turns out it's like random bond, random placket gauge model in our case, rather than just Ising model because of decoherence. But yeah, but the fact that it has finite temperature SPT order helps. So just maybe let's, can I take 5 more minutes or how much time I have?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, good, thanks. So the, I'll just say very, very briefly because I want to move on to the about dissipation part. So there, so the, as I mentioned, we, this field need more examples. One of the most interesting example came from this work by Wang and collaborators, but it called, what is called XZ channel and has kept people awake at night, many people in this audience, you know? And there's this interesting channel, quantum channel, where the decoherence corresponds to essentially physically you are trying to entangle the fermion in the toric code. So toric code has E particle, M particle, and a bound state of E and M, which is a fermion. You're trying to entangle this fermion of the toric code with the fermion in the in your some environment, some kind of that's a decoherence channel. And what was shown in this paper is that there exists a face which has no logical qubits, it seems like, but still has non-zero topological negativity when you do this channel. Okay, I don't think I understand it very well, and I assume other people do better than me. But it's an interesting state because your channel is like a fermionic, essentially. It's like a E and M bound state. And another so there's a different example which we looked at very recently, where instead of X times Z, we do X plus Z. So this is like fermionic object. Here you're trying to kind of condense E and M particle at the same time, which have non-trivial braiding. So you cannot do it. You cannot condense two things which have same, which have non-trivial statistics. So that generates some frustration. So this is a different kind of a channel. This is like X times Z, like X here, Z here. This is X and Z on the same side. And then what we find is because of this frustration between E and M particle, we, at least in what is called a double state, write on density matrix as a pure state in the double Hilbert space, which is a very tricky thing, but sometimes it is helpful to as a starting point. We find a gapless space exactly along the direction in which sine theta equal cos theta along the diagonal direction, where the probabilities of E and M particle are equal. But is it separable? Not separable? This gapless space in the double Hilbert space, we don't know. So that's still open question. So the last part I will briefly mention about systems where there's some. So far I've discussed things where the bath has no memory. It's called Markovian bath. Every time there is some process happening with some probability, but there is no memory. So in that case, we know that more interesting things can happen when you give some memory to the bath. For example, there's this interesting work where using memory, you can create long-range entanglement. So let me just come to that very 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 quickly. So this is my last two or three slides. Just very brief. One of the well-known example of a Markovian bath, of a non-Markovian bath which has memory, is Kondo effect in condensed matter. So you have some spin coupled to some electronic bath, and if you derive the effective action for the spin, there's some the kind of decoherence that is being generated has memory. It's not Markovian. It is non-Markovian. But we want to study many body systems, many body entanglements. So single spin doesn't give me enough things to play around, right? In terms of there's not much, nothing many body about single spin. So let's make the spin 1D, make the subsystem of 1D, a 1D chain embedded in a higher dimensional conduction bath, something like this. You have some Fermi surface of some conduction electrons. So this blue objects are like your conduction electrons. This red are your local movements, spins embedded in this way, and you have some Kondo interaction along that chain. So one can ask what kind of interesting phases of mixed states you can generate for this chain. So in this non Markovian system. So what we did, this is work with Simon Martin, was to study this using field theory directly, this open quantum system, and looked at the fixed points of RG. So I won't get into, so let's just forget this slide. It's bit too technical, but let me just tell you the result. So what we find when the dissipation is weak, then we find a phase transition between almost like a state where the bath and the electronic bath and the chains just decouple at low energy. So that's like a direct product state. And a state where the bath actually leads to a spontaneous breaking of symmetry. So this is a violation is the wrong word, but this is a way to get around Mermin-Wagner in 1D. If you have memory, it's precisely because of non-Markovian nature of the bath that you can have long range order, you can break a continuous symmetry in one dimension because of this non-Markovian nature. And that's kind of maybe not surprising, but there's a transition. At very weak dissipation, things in one regime decouple when you increase dissipation strength. And by weak and strong, I really mean changing the exponent of the dissipation. The dissipation is related to some this kernel K, which generates interaction between spins. Spins are written as some matrix. So this, if I'm changing this exponent, how slowly this kernel decays? So this captures how much memory that system has. So if this exponent is such that it decays very slowly, so then it always orders. It just tends to just, doesn't have much options. It doesn't have this decoupled phase. Most interesting is the intermediate regime. We find a stable phase, which has both non-zero dissipation, but also important quantum mechanical effects, in the sense that they are Barry phase terms. These are these Wiseman-Witten terms, which survive at the fixed point. So this is an interesting combination of both dissipation and quantum mechanics, this intermediate phase, where the universal properties depend both on the dissipation and the Barry phase terms in the action. We know it because the exponents depend both on the dissipation, like the universal exponents in this phase, and the coefficient of Barry phase term. So the Barry phase term is this Wiseman-Witten term in this spin chain. Its coefficient k is an integer. So the exponents depend on this k as well as the fixed point value of this gamma, which is non-zero. Gamma is the dissipation. So there's this, so I don't know any analog of this phase elsewhere. I've not seen. Maybe there are other examples, at least in higher dimension. In 0 plus 1D, such examples have been explored in the past. But in one higher dimension, bigger than zero dimensions, I don't know many such things. So, but is this a long-range entangled mixed state? I don't know what it is. But there's some, at least, suggestive evidence that this is some new mixed state phase of matter, which has no classical counterpart because of the fact that Barry phase terms play an important role in this mixed state. Right. So that's all. I think I will stop here. So these are this is a summary and some questions. Maybe the broadest point I want to make is that at least the separability point of view, whether mixed state can be written as a convex sum of short-range entangled pure states, whether you can do it or not, provides one organizing principle. Maybe not the only organizing principle, but at least is one principle which is useful. And it seems to reproduce your standard phase diagrams in Gibbs states obtained using just partition function singularities, as I argued in the Ising model. So it's not like we are not just saying, okay, let's throw away everything we know about Gibbs states and close to our heart, like things like partition functions and effective field theories and so on. All those things still make sense within this framework of thinking, but it also lets you access things which are which are not in equilibrium. Things like decoding transition in error correction and so on. But doesn't tell you directly what is the final classification of things which are long-range entangled, right? I didn't even discuss that final classification. It's more like a top level, the hierarchy. In that direction, I would say one of the most interesting progress has been by Tim and collaborators in terms of RG. But its relation to separability so far is not clear, at least to me. And then finally, let me just end with an interesting question, which is, one can try defining now complexity of a mixed state as consider all possible decompositions of a mixed state in terms of pure states, and then for a pure state complexity is easy to define, or at least easier to define. There's a lot of work by Rob and collaborators, as you know. So consider the weighted average of this pure state complexity over all possible decomposition, and then minimize it over all possible decomposition. This is a well-defined thing, and it seems like the most reasonable thing. The way I've constructed it, it is order 1 in what I call short-range entangled phases, and order L in long-range entangled phases. If the long-range entangled phase, I mean, if the minimal decomposition in terms of something depth order L. So this quantity at least has nice features. It has some kind of, at least it gives the right kind of a distinction between two very different kinds of states. But we don't know how to calculate it. And what happens to this complexity of a mixed state at the critical point between short range to long range entangle? I gave many examples today. There are many, many examples where you have a phase transition from short range entangle to long range entangle. So where this goes from order 1 to order L, perhaps. What happens at the critical point? I don't know. But I think this, sometimes even though the definition is unwieldy, it tends to have nicer properties, like in often happens in quantum information. Things which are hardest to calculate tend to have the nicest property. So this is one. This may be one of those things. I don't know, but at least I'm curious about this. And is there some another maybe question is there some geometrical way to think about this decomposition over all possible objects or all possible things? What is, like, whenever we have too many possibilities, sometimes there is some geometrical interpretation of those things. I don't know, but yeah. Anyway, so I will just. And there. And yeah, sorry for going over time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Drew. So I guess we'll start with questions from students.
Uh-huh.
Does this phenomenon of having SSP for the lower dimensional system without having SSP for the higher one, is this is normal covariance necessary for this?
Yeah. So the in just one sentence, the reason it occurs is because, as you know, the reason Mermin-Wagner exists, Mermin-Wagner theorem, is related to the fact that the fact that this integral, if you look at d omega dk, this is log divergent in two dimensions, right?
Yeah.
This
is wave
chop
piece.
Sorry?
Wave chop piece.
Maybe, yeah. I'm sure there's chalk there, but I can't see. Sorry. So if you consider two dimensions, which is a lower critical dimension for, let's say, for the O2 model, as you know, this integral diverges logarithmically in the IR and also in the UV in this case, but in the IR it diverges logarithmically. Because of dissipation, omega squared gets repeated by mod omega. This is an effect of dissipation or a friction term. So this integral converges now in the IR. So that's the reason that you have long range order, because of dissipation. So dissipation is important in regulating the integral.
If it's Markovian, you cannot have that as well.
If you have Markovian, then okay, at least my picture of Markovian is that it just, you don't have dissipation, so then I don't know how to get this term. But it's, I mean, I've not thought about all possible ways things can go wrong with Mervyn-Wagner, but at least this seems like a very natural way to do it. Like this whole literature on long-range interactions violating Mervyn-Wagner, right? Long-range interaction, but this is like that. This is long-range interaction in a time direction. But that's, to me, is like a memory. That's what I mean by non-Markovian. Yeah. Yes?
Your example of a magnetic chain embedded in a Fermi C.
Right.
Suppose you make it a superconductor.
Then
it's supposed to support Majorana modes at the ends.
Right.
Which is what Ali Azani expected.
Right, right.
So will it throw more light if you analyze in that situation?
Yeah, so it turns out, yeah. So my collaborator, Fakhar Asad, has been thinking about exactly that problem now. So I don't know what he has obtained, but he has been thinking about exactly along those lines and trying to understand what kind of mixed states that can appear. Yeah, it's a very good question, very natural question for that setup. Yeah, but I don't have much to say. I've thought about it a little bit. We chatted at KITP recently about that. But yeah, I mean, we can chat about it maybe. Yeah. There are two questions, I think.
Clarify something you may have touched on already. So supposing I have a two states, mixed state, one of them is separable, the other is not.
Uh-huh.
So is there a possibility of having a two-way local channel?
Unlikely. Because...
Is it proven that you cannot
have? Good question. Has it been proven? what will go wrong? I don't know the answer to whether it's proven, but at least maybe Tim knows the answer, but at least.
Yeah, it's believed to be true, but.
Yeah, I mean, it seems very reasonable that it should not exist, but. Yeah, please go ahead. You have a question.
Where does the geometric nature of the face show up in the red domain or tab?
So what do you mean by geometric nature? Just to make sure I understand that question.
You are talking about Jenny's
face. Right. So this term can be thought of as the. So if you take a sphere, S3. So when you have a first consider as a Wiesemann-Witten term for a single spin, that's the area traced on S2 by some vector. This is just one high dimensional area traced on S3 by some vector. So it is a geometrical object. Yeah. And that's the reason that the K is quantized, because inside and outside the same argument. Yeah, so this calculation is basically repeating Witten's calculation, but in the presence of dissipation. So we use the same control parameter, 1 over k. K is taken to be large, and do 1 over k expansion. But calculation is much more complex, at least to us. I mean, because of dissipation, there is no relativistic invariance. There are many more diagrams allowed, and it's a bit complicated. but that's an advantage sometimes. Okay, there are more interesting things happen in this case. There are more phases of matter because of the beta function looks much more complicated. Yeah. All right. Yes.
For the cases where you have these separable states, after, for example, have some noise or temperature to these long range entangled states, can you say something about the classical correlations, the long range correlator or something?
Sure. The way, at least I'm thinking about, okay, yeah, so maybe if I understood correctly, there can be states which are short and entangled, but have long range classical correlations. One example is just this. So this state 0000011 that has long range classical correlations, but has no entanglement. So there certainly such things exist, right? Yeah. Maybe is that the question? Sorry, maybe I didn't get that.
Can you guarantee you have long-range correlations?
Sometimes maybe yes. So there is this, sometimes when you have so-called strong to weak symmetry breaking, maybe you can generate long-range classical correlations, at least in some settings. But it's clearly not always guaranteed. Clearly, if there exist things which have no long-range correlations classically. But there can be scenarios where there is an open set where such things exist because of some actual dynamics. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah, maybe I can ask one.
So, yes.
So regarding showing that the mixed state below the error threshold is long range entangled.
No, we haven't shown that, right?
Yeah, no.
Right.
Like regarding that question.
Right.
So if you view topological order as spontaneous breaking of one form of symmetry, and then for the case of spontaneous breaking of zero form, you're
right.
Able to show
right.
Property,
right.
Is there really a fundamental difference there? Because also the Lieb-Robinson bound is also useful for proving the complexity of topological order.
Right. So, I think we. we thought about it, but maybe not as hard, because in the SPT case, we did use one-form symmetry to argue, and I don't know the answer, but I, yeah, yeah. But it's worth thinking, certainly, yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's thank Drew again.